15 to 20 million.
Jump out.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. Now, I don't know how the weather is where you are, but certainly many of us throughout the United States of the U.S. have been really hit with some cold, some winds, some rain, some snow. It's unbelievable. But before I get to welcoming our guests, I want to remind everyone that this is the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. And no matter what comes up, make sure you go out and support National Small Business Weekend. And by the way, this is an effort that came about as a result of the supporters of this radio broadcast and our daily radio programs. And it's now being highlighted at a growing number of stores and businesses throughout the USA. And a lot of local stores have really picked up this idea and business associations, and I want to thank them. So every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month, kindly go out and support your local businesses and make sure you try to include more and more American-made items in your shopping basket. Also, you can check that issue out on the internet by going to nationalsmallbusinessweekend.com. Well, on this insane few days of weather that we received up here, at least on the East Coast, I have Dr. Larkin Connolly sitting here with me. I also have Dr. Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, and I have Dr. Rich Loges, who is the principal of RJL Technology. And I'm calling you all doctors today because you have done more to doctor this American economy than all of our national leaders combined. And today I'd like to focus a little bit of our time on a subject which we'll call America Needs More Business Leaders, Not Politicians.
Michael, may I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
Good morning to you, to Rich Loges, and to Mark Andel. I've been gone for 3 weeks, and goodness, Mark, I turned my back for like 3 weeks, and boom, I get this picture that you've thrown the denim away. I hope that was a clip-on tie. And I also hope that you sold something to Donald Trump in that picture.
Yeah, I had the honor to meet, you know, Donald Trump, but that came along. My friend there in the picture is Matt Hanna. He's a chainsaw sculptor. We went to school together. He's a Marine. So he came up with this clever idea to let's give Donald Trump a gift when he comes into Buffalo. So he made a call, one thing led to another, and a lot of magic happened. But he made the boots on the ground, which is the most recognized symbol for our freedom. And he made that within, he spent about 17 hours on it 3 days before. And we got our opportunity, and we presented it to Mr. Trump. And, you know, in dedication and honor of all our soldiers and servicemen that serve. And I said, it's made in America, too. And he said, well, that makes the only thing made in America. And we had a couple good talks, but my suit was mine. I only wear once every couple years. And the tie was real. My buddy's was borrowed. And it was neat. You know, I just I said, you know, what we stand for, country soldier, American worker, and I had told him, you know, we really need a businessman to run our state and country. Not that I wasn't there politically. I always said, what's your party? I said, America. They said, do they have an American party? I said, no, but we're starting one. So I always, but it was neat, and he was real, and he really accepted that sculpture. It is going to be at Trump Towers. Matt, my friend, got a couple calls. It was really Matt's night, and I was proud of him. He's an energetic young guy that really does a really great work, and it's entrepreneurism at its best, and just to look at something, a piece of wood, and then carve it out. So Very neat.
Well, that's fantastic. And that was a great picture. And as soon as I saw it, I looked at it for 10 minutes. I finally said to my wife, oh, my God, that's Mark Handel.
You know, I always comment, somebody says, where's your suit? I said, when they make one 100% in America, I'll wear it. So now I want to start a contest to find Mark a suit made in America 100%. So I told my guys this week. So maybe you can help with that, Mike and crew.
And by the way, did you see that anything that Mr. Trump had on was American made? I know that he promised to bring back some of his ties here to the USA.
Yeah, I didn't get much time. Most people just got a picture photo. Because we gave him the only gift, and now what do you give him? And he had to accept that. And it was like Thursday night at 5, we found out we could do it. So it worked out good, but I didn't get a lot of time. But the things that I did mention, he does get it, you know, and a lot of people don't like facts. And our state's a mess. It's the worst state in the country and the highest tax state, and that's a fact. $398 billion in debt. We're not going nowhere soon. So, you know, there was some good things said, and he did, you know, comment with, you know, I tried to push the made in America, and he does, you know, he said that's one of the problems. We don't make things here no more.
It's too bad that that you're not the only state that has that problem.
Right, right. Yeah, we're not alone, but we are one of the worst. I said ours is a boot camp, I always said. But unfortunately, but we can change. We've got to stay positive and believe. But we need, like Rich, we all talk about good leaders and, you know, and term limits. And I mentioned that Donald Trump, when I first met him, it came out of my mouth maybe because of our show. I said, I'm Mark Handel, Made in America Store. I said, I believe in term limits. And a great businessman to run the country. And he said, term limits, huh? And then he turned away from me. But that was a comment I get in.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark, it's good to see. I also want you to know that I received your flyer about your event coming up this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And that really looks like it's going to be a great event.
Yeah, you know, it's snowing here now again. I talked to Henry. He said you got snow and ice. We've got another storm. These people up here, grocery stores are doing real well. I think they beat the time before Christmas and Thanksgiving now because the older people just, you know, bunker down. I mean, this has been a cold, cold January, and it does affect the retail side, even though my general welded with the plows in it. But retail, it's definitely one of them winters like back in the 70s. It's just the cold weather really keeps people in. So it does affect our economy, too.
Well, I want to say to you, how is everything down there with you, Rich?
How you doing, guys? Good morning. Larkin, welcome back on.
Thanks.
Welcome back on, Mark. It is confirmed it was your communion suit that you had on. So
right.
You know this.
Stretch into it.
Well, down here in Florida, Michael, you guys don't really want to know the weather. You don't want to know. But we're a little warmer. We're a little warmer than on average.
Go ahead. Let me hear it.
Well, yes. Right now we're in. I'm looking at the temperature on my computer. It's 80 degrees here.
Oh my.
And
80 degrees.
Drop the zero and you have the temperature in Buffalo.
So if we had Buffaloes and Phillies, we might come close to Rich.
Yeah, right.
And we're 80 now, and so, but everyone, of course, is always welcome to come down and visit. And we had a little bit of a cold spell, which Larkin went through. Well, down here in Florida, cold is 60. When it hits 60, the Floridians run for the hills because it's like the Arctic.
Right.
But for us here, I will tell you guys that for, you know, fortunately we had a pretty good start to the year. First month was went about as expected. And Mark, to your point about your visit there, and one of the things that you know, we've mentioned before, Larkin in particular, you've mentioned this, that we talk a lot about jobs, and we should, but complementary to that is talking about business creation. You know, people, entrepreneurs are going to be entrepreneurs in any economic climate, and entrepreneurs, what they typically do, or at least try to do, is try to take their skills, what they know, what they think they can do well, and develop a business around it. Jobs are created by growing businesses as well as new businesses that need to bring staff on. So in addition to the jobs issue, there's also businesses. And it is there's an ongoing dialogue that needs to be had about how to encourage business creation, which in turn will strengthen the labor force, we'll create a more mobile workforce. A few weeks ago, I was talking about the immobility of workers, and lots of subject matter comes up in that. Minimum wage, the kind of movements that people can make. Our labor force, while it's not accurate to say 100% across the country is stagnant, a great deal of it is, and it's immobile and it's stagnant, and it's part of the reason that has resulted in what we see today, which is workers talking about not having the requisite skills and skill set to evolve with our labor force. We need to develop ways to make our labor force more robust. It strengthens the quality of candidates. It increases productivity. It's good for the labor force. It's good for our businesses. So we need to hear about these things. We need some ideas. We need some elected officials who can work together to, even with differences, to figure out ways to get the labor force really moving.
And the fallout from that, Rich, is consumer confidence. That's what's in the hopper right now. That's what we don't have.
I agree.
But, 90% of this country is working, and they're drawing salaries and wages and relatively decent condition, but nobody's spending money. They refuse to. They just don't have confidence in what's going on right now.
You know, as we started today, I said more business leaders are needed, not politicians. And after the State of the Union and having traveled around to a few events during the last few years, we certainly discussed the aftermath of America's national leadership. And all of our listeners and our supporters agree that we do need more business leaders desperately. People who understand how to operate a business, not only individuals that operate a political campaign, looking out for themselves and really not out for the people. And this is especially true when we look at the well-being of America's job situation during the last 40 years. Now, anybody takes a look at the Department of Labor and Industry sees that it's really a sad situation. During the last 40 years, we lost tens of millions of jobs and also job skills. They were lost to foreign countries. And what does that really mean? It means that we lost not only the job skills, but the wealth that's generated by people being employed, going out and supporting the stores and buying cars and clothes and everything else. It's not only the jobs, but the ability of the people to go out and do their things to support the economy. Now, if we're not making things here and paying people to do a job, then those dollars are being circulated in other countries. And really, what are we going to do in the end? Wind up being a welfare nation? I don't know what it's really going to be. But to me, it's hard to understand how a few people, and I say a few because it's 535 elected officials in Washington, brought us to this point. I don't know what would you say about that particular statement, because after 40 years of watching jobs go, 40 years of trade and industrial arts programs being reduced in America's schools instead of being expanded, where graduates would have at least one competitive job skill to offer an employer, I mean, what else can we do? We have so many taxpayer-supported social programs increasing because they're hiding the fact that Americans don't have jobs. And Larkin, you're right. 80% of the people in a certain category are working, but we really have 47 million people that need a job, full or part-time job today. And it's that 47 million not being able to spend at least $1 a day in the economy that's really killing us.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you at all. But it still has a lot to do with, you know, we can spend our way out of the current economic dilemma that we have right now. And spending our way out of it's very simple. When it doesn't work is when the government decides they're going to spend their way out of this. Instead of creating jobs and in the free market, they're out there trying to create jobs in the public sector, and that's not the answer. I hear so many politicians and pundits and economists and faculty members talk about, let's create jobs. We have to create jobs. We have to but nobody talks about, you know, how and why and where those jobs are going to be created. They just, we have to create jobs. Well, that's great. Where? How? What are you going to do to create jobs? And you can't really create jobs without creating business, without creating small businesses is the quickest way.
And Mark, you would understand this better than anybody because you're trying to maintain a facility. In Governor Corbett's address yesterday and Governor Christie's State of the Union address and in President Obama's State of the Union, nothing was said about this is a plan we're going to use to bring back a million jobs. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have someone discuss bringing back at least 10 million jobs in 2014? And another 10 million jobs in 2015, another 10 million in 16. Let's get back to the 40 million jobs that we really need here in the USA to get the economy. No one brought that up. No one brought that up. In fact, some of our listeners said they hear more information about ways to support stores and all on this broadcast and in some other venues as well. But they hear more from us than they do from the national political leaders. And why is that?
You know, Mike, I think they've got to admit, you know, we screwed up. We've got a problem. But then we've got to change, but we've got to accept that change. And you can go either two ways, against the change or go with it and take advantage of the opportunity that's out there now, be adventurous. That's where we're at. We've got to do that. And our leaders lead to that unconfidence of our consumers. Our leaders can't be wishy-washy. They've done so many things, the fiscal cliff, all the government shutdown. That we got to put behind us. They screwed up. We got to go forward and believe. It comes down to that belief. We know we love the country. We know we're going to pull this off. Our radio station here does more, like you said, than most. But we've got to get everybody to believe in it and really do it. Buy an American works. That's what our show stands for. And don't talk about it. This year, you got to go out and do it. And you got to make a difference and think of all the people that it feeds. It's that simple. And I just did a Rotary Club meeting speech. I was a keynote speaker, and I was asked Rotarians, and it was in a more of a rural area. And boy, do these people get it. 65 business people I was in front. Pledge allegiance first, sang their song. I'm not a Rotarian, they call theirself, but boy, was it great. I showed the ABC News clip. I showed what we're about, our movie clip, and I just they just loved it. I passed out a 100% Made in America flag. They knew, but these people were true Americans. They came to the store immediately. They took the 40-mile ride the next day, and it's neat the change in the people that are here. We got to remember the good people. This handful running the country, they have to wake up. If not, like Rich, you say, you got to vote them out and vote right. That's what we've got to start doing and stay positive with it.
How many in our august group here noticed how many mentions of Made in America were done during the Super Bowl ads?
Yeah, many.
It was enlightening. I thought, here's what we've been talking about.
Well, 2014 exactly. Must be the year of American Made, and I want everybody to know it was said here first.
And, well, and Larkin, did you notice the WeatherTech commercial? If you guys get a chance.
Yeah, that was great.
WeatherTech. You know, Google it, WeatherTech Super Bowl commercial, and just watch how they go to meet a banker. Banker says, no, can't do it. You know, they go to meet the next person for materials, and then they put it in Made in America, in American factories with American materials, exactly what I push all the time. And also the Bob Dylan Chrysler commercial.
Yep.
You know, Americans, you got the American pride. You just can't go nowhere for that. It was awesome. But that WeatherTech, we actually sell them at both companies, and I just thought that commercial nailed it the best.
Yep, that was great.
No, we've got a lot of work to go through, but we're making a lot of progress. I noticed even some of our local radio stations that never touched National Leaders and American Made and things like that went into the neighborhood and more controversial issues are now starting to say, we got to do something. We got to wise up. We got to join this national movement to save America.
Have you spoken, Michael, at all about, I haven't heard, have you spoken out loud about the movement in Harrisburg and what you've accomplished there?
Yes, I want you to know that we had this past Monday, we had a very nice press conference and business get together. We did have snow in the morning, which held down some of the people, but We had a great get-together, and I must say one of our own was there, who has been on this broadcast, Representative Mark Cohen, was there. And also, I want to say that Senator Stack unanimously had our resolution to support National Small Business Weekend passed in the legislature in the Senate of Pennsylvania. So it's a lot of things are happening. A lot of good things are happening here, and we're certainly going to depend on many of our people to come out to events like this. It was good to see some of the local business organizations come out and talk and pick up posters and say they're going to get more of their businesses involved. And I want to ask the Chamber of Commerce groups across the USA to get more involved. I know that they are concerned that some of their groups don't belong to those Chamber of Commerce groups, but they'll be getting publicity. But I think it's time for all of us to put our working gloves on and work together so that we can change America in a very positive way, because without us, it's not going to happen. And gentlemen, I have to pause for a few moments to acknowledge some of our very faithful supporters. As we've been discussing, this Friday, February the 7th, Saturday the 8th, and Sunday the 9th is National Small Business Weekend. Help us promote local businesses and more American-made products and products that are sold there, whether you're going out to the local store to do some basic shopping, maybe you're going to go out and have a pizza or whatever. That's all supporting national small businesses. Make sure you let them know that they can print out a poster celebrating and put it on their cash register and in their window. We have it listed on the front page of nationalsmallbusinessweekend.com. And if you want to get out of all of this wicked weather that we've been having, I encourage you to contact Nina Titta of J World Travel, located at 2626 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. No matter where you're looking to travel, J World Travel's there to assist you. Give her a call at 215-634-6006. And while you're on Allegheny Avenue, remember that Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, where you'll find great Polish-style meats and deli products and so much more. And also best wishes from our supporters from the National Polish-American Alliance, and they are located in Chicago, but they have offices and representatives throughout the USA. Give the Polish National Alliance a call at 1-800-621-3723. And if you have some legal matters and you'd like to have it taken care of, well, Yolanda Konopacka de Scipio is there to assist you. Give her a call at 215-423-4824. And Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. Give her a call at 215-739-2787. And also another very popular place that's been getting a lot of visitors from our radio broadcast is the Net Cost Market, and they're located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall in Northeast Philadelphia. Make sure you stop by and let them know that you hear about them on our daily radio programs. And when you're in Philadelphia, you can always enjoy yourself for a while at the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. You can check them out on the internet for more details by going to sugarhousecasino.com. And if you're looking for auto, home, or life insurance, remember Karen Junod is there to assist you. You can give her a call at 215-862-5490. And may I also invite you to check us out on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/American Workers Radio. Well, gentlemen, I want to tell you, all of this weather has certainly had a major effect on a lot of the things that are happening. Some of the wires are down in the Philadelphia area. People are going crazy today just trying to get things back to normal. But soon spring will be here, and it'll be an opportunity for us to do a lot of great things. And as I mentioned earlier, Mark is having a special event this coming Saturday. Mark, tell us a little about what you're doing to invite people to your store and promote American Made.
Yeah, and as we talk, the winter's been extremely cold, and, you know, it snows, so we always, every year, try to do a winter fest, we call it. And we have local snowmobile clubs that try to tie to it, but we haven't had the snow in the last couple of years. But this Saturday we'll be blessed with snow, and we've got Matt's going to be sculpting chainsaws. We've got our first sale, though, which is kind of neat. So we're inviting everybody in. We never really have a sale. You know, we support our country, have the 6,500 goods, but we're going to have a 10% off sale for everybody. We always give our veterans 10%. So that's kind of neat. Just trying to stir it up a little bit in the dead of winter, and it's free family fun. We've got different vendors and a couple new entrepreneurs that are there and going to show their stuff off. We're going to have Valentine for Vets coloring contest for the kids and some just different thing. We're tying in an ugly sweater contest. If you guys weren't so far away, we'd have to. Maybe we'll bring it down to you, Rich, sometime and do a Miami party, you know. But it's going to be a nice time. We do something every year and stir it up a little bit, and a couple of my local businesses help sponsor it. So should be real fun.
And if you would like to see more information about that, go to Mark's site. Mark, give him that address.
Oh, yes, and it's at madeinamericastore.com. And, you know, we're up in, you know, Buffalo, New York. But, yeah, you can definitely go to the site and check it out, too.
And, Mark, I just want to note that you're going to have a group from Philadelphia coming to visit you. They're coming up to your place to see you on their 3 days in Niagara Falls, New York. They'll be there from June the 26th through Sunday morning, the 29th. And you'll be hearing from Teresa Domanowski. She'll be giving you some information about that. Hopefully you'll be there to welcome their bus of 50 people.
Excellent. I'd like her to give a shout. I'll make sure I generally catch every bus that comes in. And we've had buses already scheduled. And we hit 300 now, and it'll be 4 years this April we've been open, so that's outstanding. People love, again, what we're doing. We make it easy for them. Our new wholesale leg I'm very excited about, and why I'm bringing it up, Mike, you know, that wholesale leg, we're going to have our new wholesale site pretty soon where it'd be made in America Store /wholesale. And if you have a business and you love what we're doing and you just find it too hard to do the homework, we can help you get there, and we hold the inventory for you. You don't have to. So I'm finding it helps a lot of smaller shops actually stay afloat. Larkin, you know how hard it is when you have a small business. That inventory holds your cash flow. So I just talked to a couple this week, but I'm very excited about this wholesale leg, not only for the VA hospitals, but for these smaller places to help them with flags or whatever they might want. They can buy wholesale through us.
And, you know, Mark, as soon as you get that site up, let me know, because I want to promote it in a big way.
Yeah, and it helps people, and because people like what we've done, but they can't do the homework. They don't have time to. So we've got it all under one roof, and they really enjoy that. We'll break cases for them and whatnot. But I think that's going to be real good, and it'll grow the movement even better.
And, you know, this is also an opportunity for the storekeepers and people who work at the stores listening in to know that in the future, in the near future, they'll be able to have access to a place that would be able to get some items to put on their shelves and put in the stores, where they'd be able to get some people to know about our movement, our radio broadcast, and also some of the products that you're featuring.
And the goal is to support the 400 or just over 400 American manufacturers, privately owned companies that we support, and I became friends with all of them. And that's what people don't connect sometimes, that retail manufacturing. It goes together.
You know, Mark, now that you are talking about that, a few months ago you mentioned that there was a person you knew who handles watching the products to see how much of them are made in America. I need to get in touch with her, because I'd like to get her on the radio, number one. But people are asking me, because they go out and they look at labels and they say, well, how am I guaranteed that's a portion of that is really made in the USA? And that's a good question. And is there a way that label could have like a little code, Made in the USA 8.
And I'll tell you, her name is Marcy Gaber, and it's called Made in USA, madeinusabrand.com. And that's what she does. She does certification for the mark, and tells you, what you need to abide by to be able to put Made in America on your products. Now, I recommend being 100%. That's my store and concept, and that's what we do. But she's 50-50, and it's through the Federal Trade Commission. But she helps you, know what to do so you can also, pass and put this Made in USA label on it. So I will get her on. I'll send you the card again today, but let's talk to her. She was a great lady.
Oh, I would like very much to hear from her. What else would you have to say about our subject? We need more business people in national offices, not just politicians, Rich.
Well, first off, guys, what we have is a political structure, both on the federal as well as the state and local level, that what it does is it's deliberately fostered the career politician. See, this is what we have as a result of whatever one or each of our opinions about. Well, even if we think one party's a little better than the other, even if for argument's sake that's true, in my opinion, it still doesn't excuse the fact that the two parties, and we know who we're talking about, have unified over the years and conspired to keep competition out of our elections. Hence, what do we have? We have lifetime career politician. Our great audio engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, his 10-year-old son, if you gave his 10-year-old son $3 billion, which is what Obama, Romney averages in the presidential election, you give his 10-year-old $3 billion, he'll get millions of votes in the presidential election. And that's because of where we are today with the lifetime career politician. And in order to, like you say, Mark, and we talk about, in order for us to get things going, we need to elect those whom are truly going to put the effort forward to get working together to deal with the myriad economic, labor, tax issues that we have.
And you,
I'm not interested in baby steps. Baby steps are for babies. They're for two-month-olds. We're grown men and women here. We need measurable, significant reform and change. And I understand, as an impatient a guy I am, I know it's not an overnight thing. But
here is something, Rich, I want to just add. Working in human services, it's hard for me to understand why our national leaders don't blink an eye when they mention that 47 million Americans are living in poverty. They don't even mention, it's like it's, oh, well, it's just a fact of life. And why 47 million Americans depend on taxpayer funded food stamp programs because they don't have enough money to get by and there's not enough jobs for them to go out and fill.
There wasn't a businessman anywhere near the script that was written for the State of the Union address that suggested that this country should raise the minimum wage to $10.10. Now, I firmly believe that the $7 and loose change that is the current minimum wage is not a living wage, and it must be increased. There's no question of that. But what do you do to the economy when you raise the wages, which is usually the first or second highest expenditure on anybody's income statement, when you raise that 28%? What does Washington think is going to happen when that happens? That everybody's going to say, well, that all right, no big deal. Not only do my statutory benefits go up, but my payroll increases by 28%. There's absolutely nothing going to happen on the revenue side. All we're going to do is just take 28% away from small businesses. It makes no earthly sense whatsoever. That's
now,
not the approach.
Now, I heard something on the news. I didn't follow it carefully because I was involved in other issues. But from what I heard this morning and a little bit last night, many people will be taking fewer hours so that they'll be eligible for the subsidies on the Obama programs. Did you hear that, Rich?
Michael, the thing with the subsidies is that if we're reading the published reports now, what we're seeing is that insurance plans through the exchange are their premiums on average are essentially on par with where the typical employer plans are, but much higher deductible, higher out-of-pocket costs. And as I've said numerous times, including with friends of my wife and I who are doctors, okay, one's a surgeon, one's a general practitioner, and I've said many times, first off, there is no such thing as free health care. That doesn't exist. Something is paid for by others. So in other words, the subsidies, what that's doing is it's going to make, over time, a convoluted system more convoluted. It doesn't eliminate the fact that a guy like Mark Andel, Mark, first off, I've said it before, you've got a business, you're running it, you're trying to train people, you're trying to sell, you're trying to grow a business, you're looking to bring more pro. On top of it, you need to figure out health insurance. That's stupid.
Yeah,
Mark,
I don't really know that much.
I mean, Mark, in all honesty, do you really even know that much about health insurance?
No, you know, you try to get educated, like you said, Rich, and you don't know. I don't know enough now because it's changed and nobody knows.
I mean, do you have seminars, Mark, with your employees about their homeowners policy?
No, nor their auto insurance.
That's
about
true.
About their renter's policy. Do you tell them put the chip on red six when they go to the casino? No. So why are you involved with health insurance? Your employees, Mark, just like anyone's we have, any employees that Larkin would have had or have now, any business person, are paying through what we've talked about before. We're funding a national health. And there are people who have benefited. Senior citizens are benefiting from it, and they should. They've paid into it also. What I'm looking at is this is what I've said. The simpler you get something, the most in its most simple form is where it can become its most efficient. So, Michael, to your point about subsidies, the fact is, health insurance should not be a subsidy. Okay, we should develop. We need to improve. I'm not saying Medicare is perfect. You see the horror stories about fraud and waste, and that needs to be fixed. What I'm saying is, we need to grow up with this topic of health insurance. There are numerous services related to medicine that people could go buy insurance for on the private market. If you want escargot and Dom Perignon at the hospital when you go, fine. If you don't like fuchsia-colored wallpaper, you want red-colored wallpaper, buy a policy. You want a limo to pick you up, fine. We're talking basic access to medicine, and that basic access costs us more than our Social Security and military budgets combined. That's pretty nuts. And Mark, you're going to sit there and figure that out?
But see, Mark, as a businessman, as an individual working in human services, and Larkin is a man who had to run a business, a gas station, and everything else, it's been announced for 40 years that America was borrowing more and more money to maintain its basic services. And as we branched out with less jobs, we had to branch out those particular social programs. And now America is continuing to borrow 40 plus cents of every dollar it spends on basic bills. Now, Mark, as a businessman, that is one of the reasons you fear expanding your employment base, because you don't want to go out, because you're going to have to possibly borrow money if you have another downturn, another country comes in and tries to take some of the business away from your welding industry. But America doesn't have any concern. They just go to the 535 national elected leaders. They say we need more money. The debt ceiling has to be expanded. And that's the end of that. 40 cents plus on every dollar. Who could borrow 40 cents of every dollar to maintain their basic services? Can you answer that, Mark?
You're right, Mike. what I target is interest. I mean, when I was young, I had to get it. The highest I probably paid was 17%, then 12%. All these crazy interest rates, but I couldn't because I was lucky enough to find somebody to give me some money, so I paid crazy interest rates. Now I target. Yes, I like service at banks, but I'm really targeting interest. I want to pay the least and get the most, you know, and that's what we target. But like you said, who could pay 40% on a dollar? We do when we give our taxes to the government, but we don't, you know, we want to target. We always look at not to borrow. How can we tighten up? How can we conserve? How can we run better, smarter, smoother, and find ways not to, you know, control and cost other ways? And the last thing we want to do is borrow at a high interest rate, a crazy interest rate.
And you
I
know what else is?
At 40%.
You just mentioned something very interesting. As I was watching the State of the Union and watching Governor Christie, and I watched Governor Corbett, and I tried to watch some of the different programs on TV that were focusing on budgets, why doesn't the president get up there and give some examples, real dollar and cents examples? We're talking about 40 cents of every dollar. Maybe it's time for the president of the United States to get up there and say, it is an absolute crime that America has to borrow 40 cents on every dollar just to keep its economy moving. And we're going to do this. How much does education really cost us? How many children are being subsidized through those tax dollars? How much money is paid out to the 47 million people on food stamps? How much? It's a lot of talk, but there's really no dollar and cents put behind it. People like us have to discuss it after the fact. And that's really why I'm saying you need business people in these national positions. People used to say, oh, you put business people in there and they'll make it better for their business friends. Well, maybe that's not such a bad idea, as long as those business friends are located here on our shores. Gentlemen, hold on 1 second. We'll get back to this subject. But I would like to, again, mention we have another travel agency in Philadelphia, the Polish American Travel Service, a faithful sponsor of our radio broadcast. Remind you that no matter where you want to go, anywhere in the USA or anywhere in the world, the Polish American Travel Service is there for you. Give them a call at 215-634-3396. And if you would like to have some dental work done and you live in Northeast Philadelphia or surrounding areas, remember that Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn and Everest Dental is located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. For an appointment or additional information, give them a call at 215-671-0188. And Martin Bednarek, who is the president of the Washington Savings Bank in Philadelphia, Kazimierz Wielki Bank, wants you to know that all of their locations are there to serve you, and they also appreciate hearing from our listeners who go into the bank and say that they tune in here to American Workers Radio and our other broadcasts throughout the week. When you stop by the Washington Savings Bank near you, make sure you let them know that you tune in. And when you're in Northeast Philadelphia and you want to go, like going on a little trip to Europe, well, I want you to go to the Philadelphia Net Cost Market. They're located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall, just off Byberry Road in Philadelphia. Go on over and see for yourself the great selection of meats, groceries, dairy, beverages, sweets, and many European items as well. And with a net cost card, you will also be able to save a lot of additional funds. And if you need some legal services, remember that Leon Munkowski has his office located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. For more information, give him a call at 215-739-8521. And Giorgio, a symbol of quality since 1928. Make sure you look for Giorgio products where you shop. and Mr. Jan Majewski, President and CEO, invites you to support National Small Business Weekend, which happens to be this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. And as you go out, make sure that you let people know that you tune into our broadcast. And I want to say something which is very interesting. And I do get a good response from people. Some people say, I don't like to put things in writing. Well, don't hesitate to send me things in writing. I never publish names and I never mention names. So just send me your suggestions and I really enjoy seeing them. In fact, I send out a particular article that someone sent me last night. I send it to Rich and Larkin and to you, Mark. So check it out. It's pretty interesting. But don't hesitate to email me and I'll be back to you. And I will use your information in future commentaries. You can always contact me by going to michael@americanworkersneedyou.com and do invite others to tune in every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon here on 860 if they live in Philadelphia in the tri-state area. And if you are not in our broadcast area, check us out on the internet anytime you choose by going to americanworkersradio.com, where you can listen live or to our rebroadcast at your convenience. Well, Larkin is ready to say something.
And it's appropriate to the discussion that we were having as we went into a break there. Last week, I had the pleasure of spending 2 days, Thursday and Friday, in Washington, D.C. And Thursday evening, after a dinner that I attended, I had an opportunity to sit down with a staffer, as a matter of fact, chief of staff of a congressman who we all know. And he will remain nameless because the conversation lasted. He and I, what was the bar tab? We had quite the conversation. and it really kind of was revealing. And about 45 minutes into the conversation, I started to shake my head. And he said, have I said something you disagree with? And I said, have you said something I disagree with? You are enumerating in this conversation, one point after another, on why I think Washington is broken.
Interesting.
And, you know, I understand. He was trying to school me on how you get things done in Washington. One thing he did say was that he was firmly convinced that the stalemate in Washington right now is a result of the leadership, the current leadership on both sides. Absolutely unwilling to meet each other halfway, unwilling to compromise in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you know, Larkin, as I hear that, I think of Rich and Mark. I think it is time to stop all this stalemate by house cleaning everybody in the House and Senate. Let's make the next few elections a real winner for America. I like that. There should be no stalemate. I mean, these people are operating using our dollars, and yet they're not coming out to the people and saying, well, do you agree with this or that? No, they're playing games. They're being king and queen makers all on their own. These are our dollars they're using.
Well, that's easy to say, but there is a system on fire in Washington, D.C. right now that exacerbates that. It makes it happen continually. The jockeying that members of Congress do in order to go up the totem pole or go up the priority inside committees, and the money that's associated with that movement, and the money that these people throw around, it's nuts. And it's no wonder when you talk about the millions and millions of dollars. And as this gentleman said to me, if you want to get elected, it doesn't have anything to do with appearance. It doesn't have a lot to do with your position. It has everything in the world to do with your party and how much money you have.
Oof.
And
talking dirty, Larkin.
Huh?
Talking dirty.
Yeah, I know I am. That's why I didn't mention this guy's name, and I never will. But it was an amazing conversation. At 11:15, I walked up to my room shaking my head. And it's just crazy. And some very big congressional names were thrown around. And it's a given to him. It's the way things are. And how do you correct something like this? And he said, "Well, I don't know that you can talk in terms of correcting. You can make it better and more efficient, maybe, but this is the way it operates." And you talk about a congressman having a staff of seven, and nobody on the staff is making less than six figures.
Yep. You know, there's an old saying, Rich, Larkin, and Mark. It's not always what you see on the surface, but what's under the surface. In this case, the American people are at fault in part two, because they haven't been watching the target in Washington to see how the leaders have been doing. And it's because no one's been watching what's going on the surface or under the surface. If they wanted to see what's going on in America, they could have looked at America's debt clock years ago and said, what have we been doing? Our gross domestic product is down. Our debt is up. People on food stamps have doubled. Unemployment is at 40 million needed jobs. There's no excuse. The excuse is these people have now placed us in a very unpleasant situation. We have a growing number of America's young people that are working age, that have no jobs, no job possibilities. We're funding an educational system on the federal level, coming down to the states. We're funding state-level education programs as well as local education programs, and no one's complaining that we're not promoting the fact that we need skilled workers.
And, Rich, I would have taken notes in this guy's company, but I thought that might make him a little uneasy.
Larkin, the fact that you – first off, thank you for bringing that up. Because not that you needed to further buttress your credibility at all, but what I mean is that it shows me that it confirms so much of what we say. You guys might recall I sent an article out about a week ago about Michelle Obama having been in L.A. at some campaign event saying to all the people there that you need to write, quote, big fat checks. Now, I'm sure if I don't mean to pick on Michelle Obama. I'm sure if I went back in time, I'd see Hillary Clinton when she was president's wife, Laura Bush. I'm sure they all, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. I don't mean to pick on her, even though I do think it's extremely inappropriate for politicians' wives to campaign in that way. But I'm not picking on her in that way. And I wrote the article to you guys, if you recall, and I said, imagine if we as voters decided to elect candidates who weren't about the big fat check system, but what they were about was figuring out a true way to create ballot qualifications as opposed to the conspiracy that exists. And I don't say conspiracy as a conspiracy theorist, because I'm not a believer generally in that stuff. But they have conspired. Imagine a system where it wasn't a big fat check, but whether it's Larkin Connolly as a business person, whether it's a teacher, or a doctor, a janitor, a billionaire businessman, where all the qualifications were truly equal, people would be able to get on ballots, and then once they qualified, would have equal amounts of money, publicly financed election. You see, over time, Larkin, I do think that what some of the things that I'm saying here that you said with term limits, I think you could see actually a major correction. Now, I don't think it will happen in one election, but I will tell you this, American voters could really shake stuff up.
I mean, this guy,
one election.
This guy said, and he said it's universal in all 435
seats. I'm sure.
He said, you're elected. They literally walk out of the chamber after being sworn in and call their chief of staff over, and they start working on the next election campaign. They only have 2 years. They only have 2 years in order to make a mark. And meanwhile, somebody, a variety of candidates are sitting home in their home district, you know, putting on an assault and running against them immediately. It's only 2 years. It's only two lousy years.
Mm-hmm. And years pass so quickly. Days turn into weeks, weeks into months, and so forth and so on. My big question today, after listening to all this, I really feel that business people running for the highest elected jobs in the USA would be much better, because a businessman would not be able to allow the company to go into debt, especially if the American people would hold the national leaders accountable.
Now, I understand that, but at the same time, the clergy needs to be represented, and social programs need to be everybody needs to be represented. But to have a leader in the big chair that has never taken ownership of a payroll in his life is pretty frightening. Has never run a business, has never made an economic decision that had anything to do with the outcome of people's lives.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, like you said, Mike, they're borrowing money at 40 cents or 50 cents. Nobody would do that. Can they run a store? And we've talked about that before. I don't believe they can. Maybe we've got to have an apprenticeship for these leaders to go work somewhere.
You know, Mark, as you say that, I wonder if there is somebody that would be able to take the time to maybe put an outline up of the 535 elected officials and see how many of them were in any type of a business setting. That would be very interesting to know. I mean,
well, you know,
we
that
might
our,
be surprised.
You know that our senator from Pennsylvania,
Toomey.
Yeah.
He was in the restaurant. Yes.
He's been a business owner.
And he has some knowledge, and he speaks with a little more authority on spending money. But some of them, I wonder if they've just been pampered people for so many years that they just don't understand. You know, it's like the queens and kings of England. They don't understand what it really takes to pay the bills. In fact, I understand that the Queen of England been told that she has to cut down 40% of her budget because they're broke.
She's not broke. But when's the last time you went to the grocery store and used, you know, the jewels off a crown? She has no cash. She has no cash. She's cash poor. And she has actually called her children in and said, listen, you know, this, we've got to cut some of the fluff out of this monarchy.
Well, they say, I heard one reporter say that they have at certain times of the year, three people walking through those huge castles outside the guards, but three, like a maid or something, because they're on summer vacation or whatever. And what is the purpose? They have to use all those facilities a little better, just the way we have to do things a little better in the USA. Gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, I want to thank you. And I want to thank our listeners for stopping me to let me know that you enjoy our roundtable discussion. Even though we're not here all together, we are here together via communications, and that means a lot. In the future, we want to share a lot more with you, and I'm going to ask that you send me your suggestions, because it's very, very important. And I encourage you to check out some of our facts and figures by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and check out the debt clock right there on the front page. Larkin, Rich, Mark, thank you for your assistance. Hope the weather is great where you are. If not, it's going to be spring very soon. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Thanks much, and tune in to a rebroadcast or email it to family and friends by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. David Zenya, thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.